trying to conserve my voice to the best of my ability. It's sort of catching up with me, I think. 2 Peter chapter 2, if you'll turn there in your Bibles, please. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to read beginning in verse 1 and go through verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 9. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them, with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I want to preach this morning on the subject of vexing your righteous soul. Vexing your righteous soul. God's judgment is twofold. What I mean by that, God not only brings and does bring a judgment in this life at present. People somehow or other have a misconception or a false idea that what you do in this life you get by with, and there's no judgment for it. But that's not so. Regardless as to whether you're talking about saved or unsaved. So God's judgment is twofold, in that there is a judgment that God brings which is present. There's also a judgment that God will bring, which will be future. You know and I know, to the saved, it'll be the judgment seat of Christ. That's future. And to the unsaved, it'll be the great white throne judgment. That's future. But don't ever think that God doesn't bring judgment at the present. Now, I believe that the person that is spoken of, and there's many things that are found here in this passage of Scripture, these nine verses, but my subject is vexing your righteous soul. There's a person that is given to us here as an example. And this person was by the name of Lot. Many people today question the salvation of Lot. whether he was saved or not. Now, I believe the Word of God gives us the answer. I believe what I read here from these verses of Scripture tells us that Lot was a righteous man, meaning that Lot was a saved man. Now, if you'll remember back when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord revealed unto Abraham what he was going to do. And you remember the question was asked, are you going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Meaning that even though Sodom and Gomorrah was such a wicked place, that there was, even in that wicked place, a righteous man or a righteous person. Now, people today that ought to know better, I mean people that are saved by the grace of God and are members of New Testament Baptist churches, say, well, now, I can do this and I can do that and it won't affect me. That ain't so. Anything that you see and hear affects you. I don't care if you are saved by the grace of God. We find that Lot, I believe, began very early. Now, this vexing your righteous soul doesn't happen overnight. And what happened to Lot didn't happen instantly. Didn't happen all at once. Sometimes we feel like that we are, we that are saved by the grace of God, that, you know, now, other people better not do this, but now I can do it and it won't bother me. Well, the Bible talks about that kind of pride. It talks about what is the result of that kind of pride. Sometimes, you know, we as parents will say, when our children are small, we'll say, well, now they can do this or do that, said it's not such a bad thing, and said, later on, they'll get to where they don't want to do that, and said, you know, they'll sort of like grow out of it. You don't grow out of vexing your righteous soul. We say, oh, well, we'll let them do these things while they're young. I believe the same philosophy or idea. Now, Lot, at a very early stage in his life, began to go away from God. If you'll go with me to the book of Genesis, and I believe that we need to follow the life of Lot, because if you'll notice, when Peter was speaking here, and he said, 13th chapter of Genesis, Peter said that we have been given this as an example. Or that is, as an example for those that would even be tempted or even thinking about living ungodly, as to what the results will be. You'll notice in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 10 down through 13. Now, here's how it begins. Now hold that place and hold your place in 2 Peter, because I want you to look back at verse 8 in 2 Peter 2 and verse 8. And I want you to see something that I'm going to tie together here with Genesis 13. Now, hold your place. In 2 Peter 2, 8, it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them. Now here, I want you to see. In seeing and hearing. Now how do you vex your righteous soul? By things you see and by things you hear. Now look in Genesis 13 and verse 10. Now, is this not the way it all began? With Lot? Look. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, as the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then, now look at this, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this to our hearts and to our lives,
First, he lifted up his eyes and looked.
And then verse 11 says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now what I want you to see is, at this time, he was not in Sodom. At this time, he was not living among the Sodomites. But he was headed that way. How many times have you heard people say, well, you know, what I'm doing won't hurt me, and perhaps that's even true at that time, but what they're doing inch by inch foot by foot and yard by yard, mile by mile, they're inching closer to vexing their righteous soul. And that's how it all begins. And it says, verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, brother, looks are deceiving. This vexing your righteous soul begins with a look. Sin is made to look attractive. The devil never did show you the real picture of sin. And he never will show you the results of sin, of you doing a certain thing. But he makes it glamorous, and he makes it look good. And he makes it look as though there is no harm to it, as if there is no evil to it. Something that the flesh would really disarm. But God brought a definite warning to Lot, but he didn't heed it. We find this in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. And I think about how many times that, you know, we start pitching our tent towards sin, and God comes and warns us, and, you know, we don't pay any attention to him. And headstrong, headlong, we go right on in that way that we want to go. Now, in Genesis chapter 14, and in verse 11 and 12, now what had happened was, Lot just started by looking and pitching his tent towards Sodom. He wound up in Sodom, and he hadn't been there very long. And we see what took place here in verse 11 and 12 of the 14th chapter of Genesis. Look. There were some kings came down and carried away the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, God in his providence names one of the people that was in Sodom that was carried away. And he does this for our example that we might see. Now look in verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. Now look. And they took Lot. Now why would Lot be singled out? Or why would Lot be mentioned with all the other inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because as an example, that we can see here that you can start towards sin, you can pitch your tent towards sin, you can begin to vex your righteous soul, and then this is exactly what happened. Lot, God came along and delivered him and took him out of that place. And he did it through other kings coming down and capturing that place and carrying them away. Well, you say, well, I believe I've learned my lesson. I want to ask you, have you? Have you? In that 16th verse of that 14th chapter, it said, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And what you'll find here is that Lot stays in Sodom. He doesn't leave. God warned him out of that place, and God even took him out by some other kings coming down there, capturing it, carrying him away, and carrying all of his goods away. But then when Abraham with his 318 servants went down and captured those other kings and delivered those people, where'd Lot go? He went right back to Sodom. That's where he went. And I believe what I'm trying to impress upon you here is when you begin to vex your righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked, it don't come all at once. You sought her. Become buddy-buddy, and you sort of, then start overlooking certain things in people that you're around. And you become hardened to sin and the things that are around you, and gradually you get to where that it doesn't bother you at all. And that's exactly what takes place. And that's exactly what can happen. Now, why did he stay in Sodom? Well, some say today, well, I can live in Sodom and it won't bother me. That's what they say. You can't do no such thing. You can't live in Sodom and Gomorrah and rub elbows with the Sodomites and it not affect you. It will affect you. You're no different than I am, and I'm no different than you are. Brother, it's hard enough to spend the whole week working in people among the world and rubbing elbows with people that curse and use God's name in vain and don't ever think about the Lord. That's hard enough. And that has its toll and has its effect upon us. But we see Lot again. Now, in Genesis 19, look where we see him the next time. Brother, I believe that the Lord is giving us this for an example or a lesson. Now, you remember, it all started out with Lot just looking over to Sodom and seeing it look like the grass was greener over there. And that's exactly what the devil does to you. And it reminded him a lot of the land of Egypt. And I thought they'd want to get out of that place, you know what I thought. But you know, sometimes we get involved and maybe the old flesh don't want to get out of Egypt as bad as we really think that it should. Now, God's delivered him, and he comes right back. Now, where do we find him? In the 19th chapter of Genesis in verse 1. Now, here's what happens. This is talking about what's happening to a righteous man. This is a man that's been saved. And look at 19:1. There came two angels of Sodom and even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, it's interesting here. He never intended to get involved in politics. And people say, well, I never intended to get involved in that. But we find here, I'll be able to make the right decisions. Now, that's what we say. And these are the excuses we use so many times. You know, we more or less say, well, now that couldn't happen to me. But how many of us has it happened to? Degree by degree that we've vexed our righteous soul, and it's caused us to become hard, and it's caused us to become cold, it's caused us to become indifferent. That's what's wrong in our Baptist, that's what's wrong in this church. And I'm not saying this from the standpoint of the pastor, because I know that's what's wrong in my church. The people of God have vexed their righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And what it does, it makes you hard-hearted. It makes you cold. You lose your zeal. You lose your compassion. And you get to where you can't hardly see sin. You get to the place to where you excuse your sins. And you justify your sins. Now that's exactly what Lot has done at this present time. And he's even now sitting at the gate and he's in politics. You say, well, now, I believe I could handle that. No, you can't. You're no different than Lot. You go on and you'll see what took place. Now, what happens here? Look in this 19th chapter again and look at verse 2 and verse 3 of this 19th chapter and show you what happened. He said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street. Now look, how would you like to live in a place, and you'd made the choice to live there, and you'd made the choice to stay there, and you knew that place was an ungodly place, was a wicked place, even to where messengers of God were not safe to stay on the streets. Now look what he said.
And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat.
So we see here, now I want to ask you a question. Lot, why are you living in such a place? I'll say, Lot will tell us, well, now I didn't really intend for it to go this far, and I didn't really intend for this to be what would happen, but living in such a place as this. Now, this way, he wasn't forced to go over there. He made the decision and choice to go over there and to live in Sodom. Brother, you know, I hear people say, the devil made me do it. No, you did it. You know, we try to excuse what we do wrong and lay it off on the devil. Now, what happened and what was the effects of this? Look in the 14th verse of that 19th chapter. I'm talking about when you vex your righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked, there's going to be some results. You'll be able to live in an ungodly place and among ungodly people, and it won't bother you like you ought to. But what you'll do in doing that, you'll lose your witness. Look what Lot did. When they said they were going to destroy that wicked place, look what he said in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, this is just how practical this message is. And he went out there and he told his son-in-law, he said, now the Lord has told me we're going to destroy this place, and I wish that you with my daughters would get out of this place. And here they come back to him and they say, now let me ask you something. Why are you living here? You get the point? Now, and the Lord knows how to really put it to you, doesn't he? Yeah, Lot. Son-in-law, would you please leave? And they said, Dad-in-law said, what are you doing here? Why are you staying here? Why have you lived here all these years? How do you answer that? I know what I do, and I know what I do when it's like that. I'd hang my head in shame. Couldn't blame everybody around me. Couldn't blame my son-in-law. Couldn't blame my wife. You know, we try to do that. You don't never blame yourself. Blame somebody else for the condition you're in. And so then they say, well, he said, well, I really didn't intend to be living over here. But then they said, well, why did you get involved in politics? And how would you answer that? Now, and I heard someone saying the other night, and here's what it'll do. Sin will take you farther than you intended to go. And it begins with thus, just the vexing of your righteous soul and by the filthy conversation of the wicked in just seeing and hearing it. You don't have to engage in it. It's just seeing it and hearing it, being around it. I don't like filthy talking. I don't like to be around people that have a filthy mind and a filthy tongue. And especially so much as people that profess to be children of God and know the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what it'll do. It'll affect you. It'll vex your righteous soul. It'll cause you to have thoughts you ought not to have. It will affect you. Now, Lot compelled them, or he still witnessed to them. But what had happened was Lot had lost his witness and influence. He had become as one of the boys. And the world will try to get you to become one of them. Said, oh, come on. You, and I've heard people say, one drink won't hurt you. Haven't you heard them say that? And they'll do everything they can to get you to do it. And when you do, they say, uh-huh, 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 uh-huh. I knew the way.
what? You didn't have anything? And they got you then. I mean, you have just blown your witness and your testimony. And just lingering and being around these people, what's happened is you have vexed your righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, there's many other things that we could talk about, but time does not permit for us to do that. And then we find that he lingered. Look in verse 16. And here God came over there and told him to get out of this place. The messengers of God came and told him. And he still held on. How many times do we do that? How many times do you tell your pastor, you have a problem, you talk to your pastor says, well, now this is what's wrong in your life, you let this sin come in your life, and he says, now here's what you ought to do, and you say, now Brother Titus, I know what I ought to do, but I don't know how to do it, and I don't feel like I can just do it right now. You know what that is? That's the messenger of God bringing the word of God to you, telling you your sin, and telling you what you ought to do, and you linger. And the reason you do is because you vexed your righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I'm talking about a born-again believer. I'm talking about a child of God. I'm talking about people that are saved by the grace of God. Look in verse 16. And while he lingered, and then here's what God has to do too. Isn't it a shame that God tells us, God instructs us, and you know, you hear the preaching of the word, and you say, I know how to do it. I have people sometimes, and I told you the other night, it really makes me feel bad, but it even makes me feel worse for their sakes. And they'll say, and somebody will ask them, so what do your church believe about this, or what does your pastor believe about this? And they'll say, now, Brother Harvey believes this, and he preaches it to us all the time, but said, I don't see it that way, and I don't do it. Let me tell you something wrong there. If your pastor preaches truth to you, you better do it. I'm not talking about forcing you to do it. You better pray that God will give you grace and the Holy Spirit will enable you to see that truth. If you don't see it, you better seek to see it. What God is teaching from the Word of God. So he leaned. So sin will hold you. He never intended to really stay this long and get in this kind of a fix. Now, if you could talk a lot, I'm confident he never intended when he went to Sodom to be in such a position. He never intended for it to be. And you never intended to be in the situation you're in this morning. It just started off what you thought was a simple thing. Now, sin caused him to make then a foolish statement. Look in the 19th chapter and look at verse 19 and verse 20. Now, what I'm saying is, and I believe what we see here is, God didn't put him in a position. Lot chose. And Lot went over there. God, in his permissive will, permitted it. He went over there. And you know, he wouldn't leave, and God had to, those messengers had to lay a hold on him. You know what happens sometimes in your life? You linger in your sin, you linger in that compromised position, and God brings something to where you cannot keep staying in that condition. He literally thrusts you out. That's exactly what he did here. And then he made a foolish statement. Look in verse 19:20. God had delivered them out. He said, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. Now look at his language now. Look how he's changing what he's saying, but it still had an effect on him. What he had done all these years there in his righteous soul, being vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Look what he said. Which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Now he gives God the glory and the honor for saving his life. And I cannot escape to the mountain. Now the Lord had told him, lest some evil thing take me and die. Here's God telling him to do a certain thing. He comes back and tells him, now I know you saved my life, but I can't do what you tell me to because I might die. You ever had a conversation like that with the Lord? Certainly you have. Every one of you have. Here this morning, look.
Behold, now this city is near to flee unto. It is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. But that wasn't what God told him to do. And the reason he was so prone not to do what God told him to do, and the reason our churches today will flat refuse to do what God tells them to do, is because they have vexed their soul with the filthy conversation of the ungodly.
And we become hard. I believe, as I told Brother Titus the other night, I believe our people become programmed. Just like you program a computer. You program it, and that's all it's going to take. It's going to take what it's been programmed for. And God's people, many times I believe today in Baptist churches, do the same thing. They're going to only go so far as to how much they're programmed for, and they don't have no intentions of themselves going any farther. But God knows how to erase your program. He knows how to wipe it out completely. But that's what's wrong with us in Baptist churches today. And it is all because of vexing our righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. We become, as it seems, case-hardened to sin and things that is around us. Now, and you go on in this 19th chapter of the book of Genesis and notice the influence that sin not only had upon his son-in-laws, but that sin had upon his daughters. In verse 30 and 38, I'm not going to read this, but you'll find that when they went out, they thought God had destroyed the whole world and wasn't nobody left but Lot and his two daughters, and so they connived between themselves and committed incest. Where'd they pick that up? Where'd they learn that? They didn't learn it from God, but they learned it in Sodom. And there we find the vexing of their soul. And so we see the results of this. So the influence was the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they from that time on were a thorn in the side of the children of Israel. Now notice Peter and what he said here in 2 Peter, and what he said concerning Lot. And you'll find in verse 7, and I went through here and I underlined some of these words. And you'll notice it says in 2 Peter 2, 7, and delivered. Delivered, notice it says here, just Lot. Now the only way any person's just, there's two types of people talked about here in this second chapter of 2 Peter. That's the unjust and the just. You can read on and see that. And delivered just Lot, notice, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now look, for that righteous man dwelling among thee. Did you know there's times, and we'll never be able to completely be away from the people of this world because we have to live in this world, and we'll always have to do that. But I believe that we should not become a part of the world or mix with the world to the expense of vexing our righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot did it and didn't do anything about it. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Tell you, I'm amazed sometimes at the language that our little children have. All you have to do, and I'm not FBI or CIA, and I don't do that as a pastor because God reveals things. I don't go out and, you know, spend my nights out watching my members, see where they go and what they're doing. I don't do that. Because I tell you what, we have something far better than the FBI and the CIA. God always will reveal. He'll reveal it to you. He'll reveal it to the pastor. And he'll reveal it to the church. You can't keep it hid. You can't hide sin. You can't live like the devil and it not show, or it not be known, or it not come out. You cannot. But I better get back to the subject. the best place in the world to know how a Baptist church is, how the parents live, is talk to them little ones in Sunday school. And they'll tell on you. And I'm not saying be an FBI, CIA. Ask them some questions. I mean, and you do it not trying to spy on the people, but you just think you're going to ask them some simple questions, and they come out with some things and tell you, now this is what we did, and Daddy said this to Mama, and Mama said this to Daddy, and here's what we went, and here's what we did. And you know, they'll spill the beans. I mean, they'll give you the whole works. Then you go up and you talk to Daddy and Mama. we really are doing our best to really serve the Lord. They won't be truthful with you. Who do you think you're kidding and who do you think you're hiding from? Because it's going to be revealed. God knows it. And I tell you what, the pastor don't know a thing about it. The Lord will lay a message on his heart and he'll come in and he'll burn your nest, like I said last night. And you'll say, oh, he got all over my toes. The reason of it is God knew it. God knows it. And I believe that we see here. And so Peter brings out this great truth. They were vexed. That means they were worn down. You be around something so long, and your resistance will break down. You'll be worn down by it. And that's what sin will do. It'll wear you down. The places where these sinners were very troublesome. They sinned openly and they sinned audaciously. That Lot lived with them so long is even remarkable that he could even do that. The filthy conversation, the lasciviousness that they had there, their conduct, the wicked, strictly the lawless, men who defied all law, both human and divine. That's what the Sodomites were. So that's why he said, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul. Notice, from day to day, with their unlawful deeds, dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, he tormented his righteous soul. That's exactly what he did. Oh, how we say, now that won't bother me, I can handle that. You ain't any different than I am. And I'm not any different than you are. Every one of us, as born-again believers, are subject to what Lot was subject to here if we put ourselves willingly in such a position or such a condition. What about sin in the Lord's church? Paul said, you say, oh, well, that won't bother me. Well, what about when sin gets in the Lord's church? You know what Paul said to the Corinthian church? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know who the whole lump is? You that are members of this body and members of this church. And oh, may we remember this. Now, let me bring this up. Here's Lot's plot. It all began, he lifted up his eyes and beheld. And that's how most things start in our life. Born again believers. He chose all the plain of Jordan. He separated himself from Abraham. Abraham was a man of God. And that's exactly the progressive steps that comes. A person will lift up their eyes and look, then they'll choose what they've seen, which is sin, and then they don't want nothing to do with God's people. They want to get away, and they say, well, when I'm around you, I feel so uncomfortable. Well, you used to not feel uncomfortable. Now, why all of a sudden do you feel uncomfortable? It's because you vexed your righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You watch it. Anytime that any of you had rather be somewhere else than you'd rather be with God's people, something's going on. And you've already gotten yourself in a compromising position. You really have. He dwelled then. He not only separated went over, he dwelled in the cities of the plain. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he dwelt in Sodom.
Let me tell you something that you already know, and your pastor I know tells you, but I know he believes it. Too many times today, people are always looking over to Sodom, and they're not even looking to see whether or not the Lord has church there. And I emphatically believe this. I don't believe the Lord ever leads anybody to a job anywhere where that He doesn't intend for them to be in a New Testament Baptist church that believes and practices the truth. And how many times do people let this happen to them? They let a job dictate to them, and what happens? Many times they go to that place and they get away from the Lord. And they get away from the truth. Brother, I tell you, I don't even want to travel or go anywhere that there's not a church where that I can be in. And find that he dwelt there. He pitched his tent towards sin. He dwelled in Sodom. Now we see that he's an alderman of Sodom. He's seated in the gate. His daughters are wedded to the men of Sodom. Now there's another result. His daughters are wedded to these Sodomites. And that brings us to that truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And brother, it just begins as a simple, as just a minor thing. Sin grows like leprosy. Sin has often a seemingly small beginning. What did Lot gain? What did he gain? You know what he lost? He lost everything. He lost it all. I believe there's warnings that are pointed by Lot's failure. I believe a choice of residence where we live. He is yielding to the spirit of worldliness. It'll creep into your lives. It'll creep into your homes. And when it does that, you know the next place it'll creep into? It'll creep into your church. It'll just be a little compromising of the truth. I believe that many people want to make the best of both worlds. Some people have just enough religion that they're miserable. They're miserable in the world, but they're miserable with God's people too. Because they want to make the best of both. They're occupied with the things of earth more than the things of heaven. They sow to the flesh and they reap corruption. He sought temporal prosperity. What did he look over there for? He said, now I can really make a living over there. And that's the best place. He sought temporal prosperity and lost all of it. Every bit of it. And it's miserable end. What happened to it? Now what's happening to you this morning? Or is your righteous soul being vexed with the conversation of the wicked by seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds? I ask the question, Lot, how is it? Lot, here he is cowed over there in a cave. Here he is, the nephew of the great man Abraham, the man of God. How is it with this morning, Lot? Lot said, well, preacher said it. You know, I didn't think it would hurt anything at all just to look. And just to have a desire. There were some things over there that I saw and that would really satisfy my temporal needs. And I looked and I saw it. And he said, I didn't think anything was wrong with that. And he said, after all, you know, I'm saved and I'm a righteous man. I'm a justified man. And I felt like I could go over there and I could change them. How many times have you heard that? He said, well, I'll just marry this lost person. And said, I'll change them. But what you must remember is, you're violating God's word. How can you expect God to bless when you violate His word? Now, we don't like to hear these things. I mean, you know, all of us. Something we don't like to hear. And people said, well, the Lord's lead me to do it. The Lord never leads you to do, and He's not in anything that you're doing contrary to the word of God. You know who's leading you to do that? The flesh! It's who's leading you to do it. And Lot said, now, preacher, I didn't really intend for it to go that far. I really wanted to go over there and be in that location
And I really didn't intend to get so involved. And said, I got over there. And then the people, you know, encouraged me and said, here, why don't you sit at the gate? Why don't you be one of the judges or one of the rulers that sit at the gate? And I never did intend for my daughters to marry those lost sodomites. I didn't intend that. Neither did you. But where are you this morning? You're just like Lot. And Lot said, I never intended for my wife to perish. But she did. Lot said, I never intended for my daughters to get me drunk and to have children by my own daughters. I never intended for that to happen. Neither did you. I'm not saying that you've done all these things, but I'm talking about using a comparison as an example. Here he is. He said, he would say to us this morning, if I just had it to do over. And how many of y'all say the same thing? Well, they say if my hindsight or my foresight was as good as my hindsight. How many times do we say that? Brother, there's a lot of God's people that are just like Lot this morning. What they've done, they have permitted themselves to be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And day by day, they vex their righteous soul with the unlawful deeds of the wicked and gone contrary to the Word of God. And brother, that's what's wrong in our churches today. That's why we don't have the power that is available. That's why we don't have the witness and influence. That's why when we come into the house of the Lord, how many times do you come into the house of the Lord on Sunday morning and you're not in fit condition sitting in the pew? And the Word of God is preached, and you're cold, and you're hard, and you're indifferent. And we don't have a compassion for the lost. I believe. And I know. And I thought as I preached this message here, it says, now you notice, it said, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with the overthrow, making them ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteousness.